As Baptists, as saved people, we believe in what is called an experimental knowledge of salvation. An experience with the Lord. What Brother Mike just sang about was a time and a place. A place that's dear to you. Now, Sister Lynn was saved driving down the road. Just a couple weeks ago, Brother Cullen won't mind me telling you, we drove by a house where an old schoolhouse used to sit where he got saved. I was saved on the front seat of Pleasant Hill Missionary Baptist Church. Sister Jean was saved on the mourner's bench at New Macedonia in Carthage, Tennessee. Sister Stella was saved at Trinity Lane Baptist Church over in West Nashville. Well, I could go on about a lot of your places. We were in lots of different places when we got saved. There's one common thing that happens when a person gets saved. Peace with God. Do you remember where you got saved at? Maybe you don't remember much about a lot of things, but I believe if you've been saved, there is a time in your life, a place. And you may not be able to find it geographically on a map. Brother Harvey Ambrose was saved flying over the United States in an airplane. I guarantee you he can't look down and say, that is the exact spot where I got saved. But there's a spot in an airplane somewhere where he got saved. He might not know where it is, but I guarantee the Lord knows exactly the place where he got saved at. Do you remember what it was like? I can still hear them singing. I can still smell the smell of that church. It just... things that radiate in your mind and your memory about the place that you got saved, and I don't believe you'll ever forget it. I urge you this morning, you need a time and a place. Everybody needs a time and a place where they've been saved. It is the most important thing that will ever happen in your life. This morning, the message may seem a little elementary, and it may seem like one that you've heard 1,000 times. But there's not a message that a preacher can preach that is more simple than the one that I have this morning. It's the best story that's ever been told. It's about a man that I love. If you'll turn with us this morning to the book of Philippians.
Tyler, I need
it. You go right ahead.
Thanks, Lord, for saving me.
You go right ahead.
I should have stood up earlier, but I'm stubborn and it takes the Lord knocking me out of my seat to stand up. It shouldn't be that.
You go right ahead.
I want to ask everyone to pray for the girls I talked about a bit ago. Lord, give me a heavy burden for them. I pray that I can be an influence in some way.
Bless her heart, Lord.
Pray for my cousin Hannah. We still don't know where she stands with the Lord, and she's having a lot of health problems.
Bless her heart, Lord.
Started having seizures, and she's had diabetes since she was 4 years old, and she went to the doctor and they told her that if she didn't get it under control, it was going to affect her kidneys and her eyesight. I want to thank the Lord for giving me the experience I got that night on my knees in grace and sharing down the church.
Bless your heart, Lord.
There's no greater feeling. And if you don't know where you stand, you need to hit your knees and you need to pray and you need to seek God and ask Him to show you.
Amen. Bless your heart. Anything else upon your heart? You're not going to stand in my way. You'll stand in my way if you don't do what the Lord has for you to do. So I urge you to follow the Lord this morning. Do what the Lord's placed upon your hearts. Anything else before we go any further? Bless your heart.
I've got a spot, and nothing in this world will stand one day, but my spot will always be there.
Amen. 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 Bless your heart. Something you'll never forget. Anything else on your heart? Everybody follow the Lord. Remember when Joshua was crossing the Jordan River? He told him, he said, you get you 12 stones. When we get across this river, we're going to set up a memorial that our children and our grandchildren and our generations past, that they might see that the Lord was with us in this place. You know what happens when you get saved? You drive up a stake where the Lord has saved your soul. And there's a time right there, there's a stake, there's a monument, there's a memory there that you cannot get past. Aren't you glad for that time and that place where the Lord saves us? Most of you all don't remember the first time you met me. You don't. Mom probably does. Grandparents probably do. They've met me before any of you all did. But you know, before all of that, Jeremiah says that before we were formed in the womb, the Lord knew us. He knows all about us. You see, that's the thing about the Lord. He knows everything about every single one of you all this morning. Aren't you glad that He does? You may say, "Preacher, I don't want Him to know everything about me." Too bad He does. He knows everything about you. He knows that you're a sinner. He knows exactly where you stand with Him. That's the kind of God that I have. But as I was thinking about the lesson that's before us, and it goes along with this, everything that's been said or done, you don't remember where you met me, most likely. Most of you met me here at Mount Calvary, I would say. I've never met many celebrities. I'll tell you a kind of a funny story. I worked at a small grocery store in Bowling Green when I was in college, and maybe I've told this before here. If I have, you'll just have to hear it again. But I was going, someone came through my line one day and the produce manager was behind me. I had no idea who this guy was that was standing in my line. And he left and got out of there, and she said, "Well, did you know who that was?" And I said, "I have no idea who that man was." She said, "Well, it was Hillbilly Jim, the guy who used to wrestle." Well, I had no idea who he was. I guess he thought he was some kind of celebrity. Maybe everybody else knew who he was, but I had no idea. The Bible says that it's important that we know at least one person. The Scripture says that Jesus is the great shepherd. He says, "My sheep know me and I know them." You know, a shepherd has got to know everybody he's taking care of. And you know, the only voice that those sheep are going to listen to is that shepherd. They're going to pay attention to him and nobody else. You know, sometimes a wolf might try to creep in and they might pay a little bit of attention to him. But they're really going to pay attention to that shepherd. They're going to make sure that they follow or that they know him. Remember, he says, "My sheep know my voice and I know them." That's found in the Gospel of John. If you want to look that up, and I can find the chapter and verse for you if I needed to. But he calls himself the great shepherd. And I want to ask you this morning, do you know his name? Do you know his name? How many of you ever heard the name of Jesus? Raise your hand. The name of Jesus, the name above all names. Most people today know the name of Jesus. Whether you've heard some preacher get on television and tell you about Jesus, or you've heard a man stand behind a book board and tell you about Jesus, most of us and most of the world have heard His name. But just knowing the name won't help you. Most of you wouldn't do very well to know the name Taylor Gregory. You can't go into any bank and borrow money on my name. Not happening. You're not going to get very far just knowing my name. Taylor Gregory will not help you. I can only help you so far. You might know your mama and your daddy. I'm sure you know their names. Might know your grandparents' names. Might know a whole host of people. Some of you all laugh and say, "I know everybody's name." I don't. Trust me. But there's a name that I'll not only know, but I know. You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" You see, I know His name, but He knows me on a personal level. You see, salvation is a personal experience with God. It is something that you know that you know that you know about. Don't have to wonder about it. It's something that you know about. That's why it's called an experimental knowledge. You wouldn't know about it if you've never experimented it. I told you last week I wouldn't know that I like country ham if I hadn't tried it. The Bible says, as I quoted last week, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." You need to taste and see this morning that the Lord is good. When I'm talking about a time and a place, I want you to understand something. It's a time in your life when you met Jesus Christ. More than just hearing His name or just being yelled by some preacher, you need
to know Him in your heart. The writer over there in Romans, which was Paul, he said, you've got to believe with your heart and with the mouth confession is made. You can't tell about something that you don't know about. I'm not going to stand up here and try to tell you how to do brain surgery because I can't do it. But I can tell you about salvation because I've experienced it. Philippians chapter 2. I want to read about this name above all names. And I want you to ask yourself something this morning. Do I really know this man? Do I really know about him? And does he even know who I am? It is so important that you know him, and it's so important that he knows you. Do you know his name this morning? Does he know your name? Philippians chapter 2 writing says in the first verse, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy. That ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, understand this. Talked last Sunday about the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. Jesus came as the form of God. A human form of God. Now, whether you understand that or not, that is just the way that the Bible tells us that it happened. I believe it to be the truth. I believe He was the human form of God Himself. All three separate, all three equal. Trinity is hard to explain and it's hard to understand. I'm not sure that I fully understand it all. But listen to this. He says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God? But who? But made himself. Who made himself? Jesus made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, Paul was talking to a church here. And they were talking about how you should treat one another. Basically, you should treat one another better than your own self. You see, I want you to understand something this morning. Isaiah 53 calls Jesus, he was a prophet, Isaiah was. He says that Jesus was a man of sorrows. Turn over there with me for just a moment, if you will. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. This was a foreshadowing that Jesus was to come. I want you to understand something this morning. The name of Jesus didn't just pop up one day over in the New Testament. It didn't start there. You see, since time has been formed, there have been things pointing to Jesus Christ. There were things that would be types of Christ all throughout the Old Testament. You remember Noah's Ark? Guess what it was? It was a type of Christ. It saved people. You say, preacher, how did it save people? It didn't save them as in it saved their souls. But once they got into it, it saved them from the awful flood. They had to have enough faith that that ark would carry them, much like you and I have to have enough faith that Jesus Christ will save us. You've got to have it. It was a type of Christ. Many types of Christ all throughout the Old Testament. Remember the atoning sacrifice that Aaron had to use for the nation of Israel? The Day of Atonement, every year, they had to offer a sacrifice to God. Every year. One time a year, they had to offer a perfect sacrifice to God. It was a type of Christ. Another sacrifice made year after year after year for sins that needed atonement, which meant it took away sins. Now there was the atoning sacrifice and the scapegoat. The atoning sacrifice was laid on the altar and burnt. The scapegoat was driven out. The Aaron, the high priest, would go and he would pray over it, and he would send the goat out into the wilderness to drive the sins out of Israel. You know what Jesus did when He came? He came as the perfect sacrifice, and then He took our sins and carried them away from this place. Took all of them upon His shoulders and carried them away so there would never have to be a sacrifice made ever again. That's what Jesus did. But I want you to read these scriptures with me this morning. Isaiah 53, and verse 1, it says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For He shall grow up before Him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form, nor comeliness, and when we shall see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him." You all have heard me say this many times. Jesus probably wasn't pretty to look at. He wasn't the King that this world was looking for. They probably expected someone in robes, someone to be dignified, to look good, so that their King would be one that everybody else would want. Does this sound like someone that everybody would follow after? No, it says, "Who hath believed our report?" He says, "He hath no form or no comeliness, and when we shall see Him, there is no beauty that we should desire Him." By looking at Jesus Christ in His form, you wouldn't have known just by looking at Him that He was the Savior of the world. Would have known that. Most pictures that you see means He has long hair. Probably looks like what we would call a beach bum. That's what He looked like. Came into the world like that. As a little bitty baby, they weren't expecting that. They weren't expecting... Merry Christmas, by the way. They weren't expecting that He'd be born in a manger. They weren't expecting that this little baby would grow up and be the King of the world. They weren't expecting that. But that's how He came. No form, no comeliness. And when they saw Him, there would be nothing that people would desire after Him. I'll be honest with you this morning. I can fall right in line with that. There's nothing much about me that looks very good. It doesn't help anybody to know me, but you have to know this man. You have to know Him. He is despised and rejected of men. Do you realize when He came, His own people rejected Him there? The Jews, they rejected Him. They rejected His message. He said, "I'll take it to them first." But guess what they did? They rejected Him. They rejected Him so much that the Roman government would take Him and nail Him to a cross. They rejected Him. They despised Him for a little while. One day they won't. It says, "A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from Him, and was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried away our sorrows." Remember the scapegoat? He took the sins upon Him and carried them away. Who else could do that except a man named Jesus? Nobody has the ability to take your sins upon Him and carry them away. Nobody has that ability except Jesus Christ Himself. Yeah, we did esteem Him. We did raise Him up and say, "Stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." Now read this with me for just a moment. This man is who you need to know. Understand something this morning. This was for you. If I didn't exist, if nobody else had existed, He would have done this just for you. We sang the song this morning, "He loves me." He loved me so much that He became a man fashioned as sin, a man that was likened as you and I, and He did that for you and for me. You understand something this morning? He was seated at the right hand of God Himself in heaven. He didn't have to come. He could have very well said, "I want nothing to do with that. Find some other way." But you see, there was only one perfect sacrifice. Only one way that people would be reconciled or brought back to Him. Only one way, and that's through Jesus. But read this with me. Fifth verse says this, "But He," who? Jesus, "was wounded." I think He was wounded physically. Oh, but I think He was wounded emotionally. You say, "Preacher, how do you get that?" And that may be pure speculation. But you think about what happened to Him when He died on the cross. He said, "Father, why hast Thou forsaken Me? Why have You allowed this to happen to Me?" He knew already what He was going to have to go through. But guess what happened? Human emotions, human form, took over. "Father, why have You allowed them to break My body? Why have You allowed this to happen? Father, why have You forsaken Me?" He didn't forsake Him. Jesus had a mission that had to be completed. The Scripture says He could have called 12 legions of angels to have come from heaven, taken Him down off the cross, and carried Him back to the throne of glory. And do you realize what would have happened if that had happened to Him? You and I would all be bound for hell. Every last one of us would be bound for hell. And guess what today? If you're lost and in your sin, you are bound for hell. People don't like to hear that. But I want to be truthful with you this morning. I don't want you to get there if you don't get saved and say, "Well, nobody ever told me. Somebody should have told me. God let me out because I didn't have the same opportunity as everybody else." Guess what? If you've never heard it before, you're going to hear it this morning. If you die lost without knowing Jesus Christ, you will die and go to hell. That's where you will spend an eternity. You say, "Preacher," and I said it last week, "why would a God that loves me do that to me?" You know why He did it? Exactly for the reason that I'm reading about this morning. Because a man named Jesus, He was somebody's son. Do you realize that this morning? He was somebody's son. Mary, you remember her? Over in the first chapter of the book of Luke, she was given a son. A son. Like I said, Merry Christmas. A little bitty baby boy. Oh, he must have been beautiful. Can you imagine? I've never had a child. So I've never looked into their face right after they're born and looked in and saw my child. But that was Mary's little baby. And she already knew what His outcome would be. Already knew that He would not be like every other child. He wouldn't be like all the other ones that were running around and the ones that her and Joseph would later have. Wouldn't be like that. You see, this was a supernatural birth. His Father was God Himself. And here we look over, if you could look over today into the manger, see the face of that innocent little baby. He was somebody's son. And He didn't come just so that He could go to the cross and say, if you get saved, that's all right. Everybody goes to heaven. If you don't, it's okay. It doesn't work like that. There has got to be some retribution paid. You see, the problem today is everybody has a mind and knowledge of Jesus. But they don't have a heart knowledge of Jesus. It's got to go not only from here, it's got to go way down here. And it's got to sink in way down deep in your soul. You say, "Preacher, why again do people have to go to hell?" Because you're guilty this morning. Every last one of us that has been born or ever will be born is guilty of murdering somebody. "Preacher, I wasn't there. I didn't nail Him to the cross." Yes, you did. If you're born, your sins put Him on the cross. He bore the cross of Calvary for you. Exactly for you. And there'll probably be somebody here today and say, "Well, you know, I'm not exactly sure that I even believe that the Lord is who He says He is." Well, guess what? You'll never get saved as long as you have that attitude. You'll never get saved that way. You have got to believe with all of your heart that somebody died for you. And knowing that if it hadn't have been for anybody else, it would have been just for you. It says He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised, not for His iniquities, but for our iniquities, for my sins. In the court of law, guess what? You do the crime, you do the time. If they find you guilty. Well, guess what? We've all stood trial and we are all guilty. Somebody has to be the one to pay the time. The crime has already been committed, so somebody has to do the time. It's up to you this morning, really. I've already been saved. The blood has been applied to my heart. I'm safe. I'm secure. I know where I'm going when I leave this world. You see, everybody that's been born has to calm themselves. You can't go by anybody else. You see, if you know Jesus, you know the man that you need. 1 Timothy says this, Paul doing the writing, for there is one man that is a mediator between God and Jesus, or God and man, that man being Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something this morning. People will say you can do all kinds of manner of things to get saved. Let me ask you something. How many of them went to the cross for you? Give me a big answer. None of them except one, Jesus Christ. There is a reason that I can't save you. It's because I'm not perfect enough to save you. I didn't take your sins on the cross and bear them for you. And guess what? I probably wouldn't either. If he'd asked me and said, will you go to the cross for the world? I'd probably say, psh, not me. I don't like pain. You ain't sticking me up there. Not me. Find somebody else. But Jesus did. You see, let me inform you on something this morning. The reason that you have to be saved through Jesus is for this very reason. It's because He's the one that died for you. I didn't die for you, and I'm not going to die for you. Jesus has already died for your sins, and the gift is there. Let me warn you on something just real quick. Maybe this has happened to you, and if it has, you need to seek the Lord for salvation. There are people out there today that will say, if you'll just get baptized, you'll be saved. You know what that is? That's a work that another man does. You see, if I baptize you, I would be the one doing the baptizing. That's a work. We talked about in Sunday school this morning, no works will get you there. That work will not save you. Another man has done that for you when they lower you into the watery grave. Therefore, if you've been baptized and that's what you're hinging, going to heaven on, you need to seek the Lord. It's not going to work. If somebody has told you, walk down an aisle and repeat after me this. Somebody else got between you and the Lord. There is somebody else trying to be a mediator. But there is just one mediator, the man named Jesus. You can't come to me. I can stand down here and shake your hand till your arm falls off. All you get is an arm that's fallen off. It won't help you. You see, the one that was wounded for your transgressions has to be the one to save you. What does it say back over in Philippians? It says, wherefore God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name. Every name. Your name means nothing in comparison to the man named Jesus. You know what it means? In Hebrew, it's Yeshua or Yeshua. The Lord is salvation. He is the only way that we will ever find salvation is through Him. It's His blood that washes away sins. It's not a baptismal pool. It's not a creek water. It's not soap. It's the blood of Jesus that is applied to your heart that covers your sins. That's what works. You can take all the Tide you want to and scrub it in there, but it will never wash away your sins. The blood will, though. Trust me, I've tried it, I know. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Acts 4:12 says, there is no other name under heaven whereby man must be saved. Notice He said, should be, could be, might be. It said, must be saved. There's no other name. Not one. It didn't say Taylor Gregory can be a stand-in. It says there is no other name. What name is it, Jesus? That's the name. That at the name of Jesus. You know what the name of Jesus does? It can cast out devils. You know, the Lord, as He was here on earth, He cast out many devils in His name. In the Acts of the Apostles, you know what happened? They cast out devils. They did lots of great works in the name of Jesus Christ. It's the only name that really matters. My name, Gregory name up around home, there's a dime a dozen of us. There's only one Jesus Christ. You might see somebody with the name J-E-S-U-S spelled out on a piece of paper. They're not Jesus. Name all your children that you want to. I don't recommend doing it because there's only one. And that name should be reserved for Him and Him alone. It's a name that is above all names. Above every name. Listen to this, folks. That at the name of Jesus, how many knees? How many? Every. Every knee. Does that mean every as in all? Yes, it does. You might say, preacher, I'll get a reprieve because my mama or my daddy went to church. No. Mama or daddy, they took me to Sunday school. No. Daddy was a preacher. Mama played the piano. Granddaddy was a deacon. They gave all their money to the church when they passed away. It won't help you. Their things will not help you. When life is over, it will not matter. It says every knee. What will they do? Should bow. Meaning will bow. Of things in heaven. And things in earth. And things under the earth. I believe that means everybody in all of those places has or will bow their knees before an Almighty God. And I'm going to tell you when that's going to be. If you'll give me just a few more moments, I promise I'll try not to worry your patience this morning. Listen to this. 11th verse. And that every tongue. How many is every? It means all. Am I going to get out of it, preacher? Uh-uh. You won't. Should confess, will confess. That what? Jesus Christ is Lord. For those of you that are here today and you may say in your heart, there's no God. There's no Jesus. He didn't go to a cross. Guess what? You might not ever confess it down here, but guess what? One day, you will recognize Jesus Christ as Lord. You may not ever, while you're here on this earth, while breathing in this body, you may never acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. But you will. And you know what happens when the Lord comes back and you acknowledge it then? It's too late. The Bible says it would be better if a man had never been born than to die without the Lord. Now that's paraphrasing, but that's what it means. It would be better for you had you never been born if you die without the Lord. It would be better for you. Why would it be better? How many of you want to spend an eternity in hell? Good, none of you. Guess what? In order to go to heaven, you've got to be saved. So everybody here today has admitted that they want to go to heaven. You say, preacher, I didn't admit that. If you don't want to go to hell, guess where you've got to go? Heaven. Two places man will spend eternity. Heaven or hell. I'm going to say this, and I hope it doesn't get me in trouble. You've got a choice this morning. And I'm not talking about choosing the Lord and saying, I accept Him, because that won't work either. You've got to make a choice. You can either sit back and ignore the Lord all of your life. You can do that. It's your choice. Or you can choose to seek after Him. Paul says that we should seek happily after Him. Or seek after Him if happily we might find Him. Got to go after Him. You make that choice when God deals with you. When that knocking on your heart starts beating, you got to seek the Lord. You want to know when they're going to bow on their knees and they're going to cry to the Lord? Jesus, your Lord. Revelations 19 and about 16 says that when He returns, He shall have a vesture that says, or something wrapped around him that says, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You remember when he was hung on the cross, what they put above him on the sign? It says, Hail, King of the Jews, King of Kings. They were mocking him. You know what you do today if you don't believe in God with all of your heart? You're mocking Him. I heard a preacher just a few weeks ago preach a sermon on spitting on the Lord. You know what you effectively do when you ignore the knocking on your heart to seek Him? You're spitting on Him. If you spit on me, we're going to fight. But you're spitting on the Lord. Why? Because you're not acknowledging Him as your Lord and your Savior. But you see, there's going to be a day. It's a day that we've not experienced yet. He's already been once. But there's going to be a day when the world shall cease. Can you hear it? Hadn't happened yet. The Bible says a trump shall sound. And I don't think it's going to be like a little trump that sounds and only a few of us would hear it. When that trump sounds, the whole world will hear that. And you know what? You're not going to say, well, I wonder where that trumpet's coming from. Everybody is going to know just exactly what's happened. The Scripture says people will be running for rocks and mountains to fall on them. It says that they will beg the Lord. Lord, have I not done great things in Your name? Have I not cast out devils, fed the hungry, fed the sick, helped the sick? Have I not done all of these things in Your name, Lord? Have I not done any of those? And He's going to say, Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. Remember what I said when I first started? He says, My sheep know My voice and I know them. If you're not one, you won't go. It won't happen. The Bible says that the clouds shall be rolled back. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, he says, He shall come quickly. He shall come as a thief in the night. You know what's going to happen for those that have been saved? We shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. For those of you that die in your sins, you'll stand before an Almighty God. And He's going to judge you according to that soul. And He's going to look and He's going to say, You're not one of mine. I don't know you. You know what's going to happen then? You're going to want one more chance. If I could just have one more opportunity to seek You, Lord, I'd get saved. When time ceases, that's it for you and everybody else. You had better make yourself ready now or face eternal damnation. You may say, Preacher, I don't want to hear that. Guess what? You need to hear it now as opposed to dying and going to hell. Proverbs 18:10 says, The name of the Lord is a strong tower and the righteous run into it. If I told you this morning that there would be a storm waiting you outside, and if you go out there, you will not make it. You know where you would stay? In here. I'm telling you this morning, and you may not believe me. You don't have to believe me. The Bible doesn't say you have to believe Taylor. You don't have to believe me. It's up to you. But anybody that's got good sense would believe. Remember what I said? Maybe I said it when I first started this morning. The fool has said in his heart that there is no God. If I told you there's a storm coming, and let me tell you, there is a storm that is coming for you. Every last one of you that's lost and out in sin. I've given you the way out this morning. I've told you who to go to. Now let me explain this for those who may not know what we believe about salvation. We believe salvation is wholly by grace, meaning that you have to come to the Lord, humbly submitting yourself to Him. You have to repent, turn from your sins, your sinful way. You may say, Preacher, that sounds like an awful lot. There's a little bit more to it. You see, you've got enough faith within yourself to believe in the Lord. But you see, at the end of yourself, He has to grant you the faith to be all the way saved. And if you will come humbly submitting yourself to Him, He'll grant you the faith to be saved. He'll do that. Now, when I was lost, I went for a long time seeking the Lord in lots of different places. But all it takes is one time. You don't have to come down here and repeat any prayers because that's not going to help you. The prayer that gets you through is a prayer that you will pray from the depths of your heart. From the depths of your own heart, I will pray with you. This church would be willing to pray with you. But there's not a one of you here today that can save anybody else. Can't do it. Can't do it. Don't have the ability. You see, it's between you and the Lord. And you see, the best thing about it is, when it happens, when God saves your soul, you will know about it. You won't have to have a preacher hand you a mug and say, "Guess what? I got saved on October 22nd. You'll have something that will be inside of you forever. That mug might get lost and broken, but guess what? Salvation never goes away. That every knee should bow. And every tongue should confess." Why wouldn't you do it while you still have time? Why would you wait? We're going to stand. We're going to sing a song. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord, you need to seek this man named Jesus. You see, we know this man named Bill Gates. You ever heard of him? Richest man probably in the world, maybe in the United States. I don't know. He has a lot of things that will take care of him while he's here on earth. He has the best that money can buy, cars, houses, probably the best medical insurance there ever has been. If something goes wrong with him, he can go to the doctor and probably get it fixed by just writing what I would say would be everything I will ever make in my life. Looks like he's got everything, don't it? But if he dies in his sins, none of it is worth anything. Without Jesus, you have nothing this morning. For you had bet that you would be better never to be born than to die in your sins. While we stand together, while we sing, I beg of you, don't put off salvation too long. Time may not be on your side this morning. While we stand together, while we sing, bow at His feet and He'll save your soul.